Now, I'm going to try my best. John, chapter 8, hold your place. I'm going to try my best to deliver this series in a way that you can handle it. You know, we live in a time today that the way you package something really means some things. Amen? You know, and sometimes you just can't package truth in a way that's nice or beautiful or loving. You know, sometimes when you preach the Word of God, the Bible says the Word of God is for reproof, correction. It's not always jumping up and down. It's not always, you know, tiptoeing through the tulips. This series that we're doing now, called Breakthrough Blockers, we're going to have to deal with some situations that are personal. I mean, there's no way to go about it. A blocker is something that needs to be removed. And unfortunately, church folk, even though we've been translated from death into life and light out of darkness into light, we have a problem sometimes realizing exactly how free we are. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says we've been translated out of darkness into light.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's no degrees of light in that. Either you're in darkness or you are in light.
Amen.
And sometimes we compromise and we except a little darkness in our light, or a little light in the darkness. But actually, the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. It's unchangeable. It cannot return unto God void.
Right.
God said what He said. He meant to say what He said. And what He said is true.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we want to deal with some things this morning, on a Sunday morning.
Amen.
You know, I know we're supposed to be user-friendly services, but I don't have time to play.
Amen.
This is an important year.
Yeah.
Turn and tell somebody this is important.
This is important.
This is life or death year. I believe it. I mean it. Our nation is life or death to our nation. If we don't do some things this year, we'll be going into the deeper, deeper evilness of the devil.
Amen.
Amen. And if the church don't wake up, we're on the verge of going to sleep.
Yeah.
And missing, our generation missing a move of God. So, I don't have time to play. You don't either. So we're just going to hit this thing, and we're going to hit it wide open. This is the year of 2010. We know that. 10 in the Bible means completeness of order. Nothing lacking or nothing over. It signifies the cycle is complete and everything is in its proper place. There are 10 commandments that contain all the necessary and no more than necessary. The tithe, which is the tenth of your income, represents all that is due God. This is a year of supernatural breakthrough. A breakthrough is a significant and dramatic overcoming of an obstacle, or when the unexpected suddenly happens. I believe that this is the year that we'll break through some cycles.
Yes.
I believe this is the year that some things will be quickened in your life. Suddenly things will take place.
Yes.
I believe that this is the year for that. Amen?
Yes.
And not only is it a year of supernatural breakthrough, any year that ends in zero is the beginning of a decade. Now, if you don't know nothing about numbers in the Bible, you need to understand that numbers are important to God.
Amen.
There are a lot of numbers in the Bible. God did a lot of things according to numbers. And decades, years that end in zero, are very important in your life. If you look at your life and really start examining your life, you will understand that every 10 years, there's a shift in your life. Every decade, something happens dramatically in your life.
Yes.
Now, I keep a diary. I've kept a diary ever since I came to this church. It's 14 years going on now. I don't do as much as I ought to. Seems like when things are not going good, you just write more, you know? Things are going good, should be writing more and more. You know, I wrote out my frustrations, my problems, my situation. And as I look back over it, 10 years in between each time, there was a shift in my life.
Yes.
For example, in the year of 2000, our nation was looking for a new time, and many of us thought in the year 2000 that computers wouldn't work, right?
Yeah.
Some of you brought extra food in the year of 2000 because we thought the computers would shut down. Some people did. Electricity would go off, and there'd be a shift, a dramatic shift in some things. Well, 2000 was a year where we wondered if things were going to work. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Now, 10 years later, 2010, we wonder if anything going to work today. Our government says nothing is working. The average church person says, "Is nothing is working." Come on now. The prophets on the TV are preaching doom and gloom like they've never preached it. There's a shift. Amen. Right now. And so this is an important year, 2010. It ends in zero. And not only does it mean a decade ending and a decade starting, this is the first year of the decade, which means first fruit.
Yes, amen.
It means the seed time year.
Amen.
You're either listening or think I'm crazy, but I'm telling you something that I know works. I believe in sowing and reaping like I believe that we're humans. It's worked in my life.
Amen.
Amen. What you sow this year will determine what you live off of the next 9 years. And a word of wisdom to the wise. If I was you, I'd pick it up, buddy. I was talking to Sister Pam the other day. And I think God has given me a revelation of this. And we used to call this people that act like this as fanatics. If we really believed in sowing and reaping, and if we really believed that God inhabits the praises of His people, I think we'd go over a little overboard in our praise and worship. We would become a little fanatical, don't you think? If I believe I got back what I sowed, then what I sowed to God, if I sowed to God, then God gives it back to me. So if I praise God and praise God and give what belongs to God, guess what? He's going to give back to me. So if this is the year we turn it up. Say, turn it up. You may have to take some vitamins or get involved in exercise in class to be able to turn it up. Amen. It is amazing to me, talking to myself, how we can really turn it on when things ain't going right. We can complain. We are professional complainers. We are. We know how to complain. We know how to talk the terrible stuff. But we know so little of how to talk right and how to praise God and be efficient in the kingdom of God. And I'm just telling you, this is the important year. This is a seed time year.
Yes. Yes.
What you do this year determines the next 9 years.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Very important year for our nation, our church, and for you. Shout with me, this is my year.
This is my year.
That's the way to do it, Brad. Why don't you just stand up and shout that way and tell them? Come on now.
This is my year.
That's the way you do it. That's the way you do it. God's hard of hearing. He is. Turn and tell somebody else, this is my breakthrough year. Hallelujah. Turn and tell somebody else, watch out for the breakthrough blockers. Amen. You don't need no breakthrough blockers in your life. John chapter 8, this is the foundation scripture for this study. We went over this Wednesday night, but we're just going to share a little bit and move on into number 2. breakthrough blocker. Verse 30. John chapter 2, verse 30. As he spake these words, he's talking about Jesus. As Jesus spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth. Say truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. The truth that Jesus is talking about is found in John chapter 17, verse 17. It says, thy word is truth. Yes. And you shall know the word of God, and the word of God shall make you free. The dictionary defines the word free to mean not restricted, self-ruling, and not controlled. So if I know the Word of God, if I know the Word of God, then I won't be self-ruled or restricted or controlled. Right. Amen?
Yeah.
Look on down to verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It's God's intent for our life to have a life of freedom.
Yes.
Nothing controlling our lives at all.
Come on.
No more bondage.
No
way. That's God's will.
Right. Hallelujah.
I said that's God's will.
Yes.
In whom the Son is set free is free indeed. Listen to what the Message Bible says. So if the Son sets you free, you are free through and through. Now, that's what the Word of God says. If you're free, you're free through and through. You know, I need to say this. I just need to. Sometimes it seems like we take the Word of God and dilute it based on our circumstances, like watered down tea. How many like watered down tea? You know, or soup that's been left over and you want to put some more good stuff in it. You put more water in it. And you water it down. It just ain't the soup it was. And the tea just don't taste right. It don't have enough, got more water than tea in it. We diluted it. It seems like we just kind of have that attitude when it comes to the Word of God. When it comes to God speaking to us, right off our bat, we've got to work through our mind, our situations, and what we see about each other and what has gone on in our life, that the Word of God is diluted in our mind and our spirit. Because the Word of God says, this is God speaking. This ain't something I made up. This is the Word of God. It's not nothing that we corned up, or whatever you call it. It's the Word of God, flat Word of God, the unadulterated Word of God.
Yeah.
It says, in whom the Son has set free is free through and through.
Amen.
You got to understand, you might be in the fire, but the fourth man's in there with you.
Amen.
He's not going to let you burn up. I mean, you can come out and smelling like a rose if he's in there with you.
That's right.
I think the situation is many of us don't really know and believe that God is truly in us, works through us,
right,
and on us.
Right. Amen.
How many of you have Jesus in your heart? If you do, the Word of God says, the Word. In whom the people that have Jesus in their heart, that's me, have been made free through and through. Now here's where it's important. Because faith pleases God. Hebrews 11:6 says, faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. Faith pleases God. Faith gets the job done.
Amen.
Faith, the just live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's the problem when it comes to being free, not in any bondage. If we don't know that and believe that we are free, our mission in life as a child of God will continue to be, our faith will continue to be in something that will make us free. Or set us free. You know, we like those songs. What is it? Come by here, Lord. He don't come by here. He lives in us. That's no faith in that. It don't please God to sing that. It sold a lot of records and a lot of things. And we sung it in our little prayer groups with our guitars. Come by here, Lord. Come by here, oh Lord. Come by here. And we had chills and thrills. When God was already in us, on us, working through us. Do you hear what I'm saying? There was no faith in that because faith is the known will of God. Faith is knowing the will of God, the known will of God. So, these scriptures won't work in us if our intent as a child of God to be at the altar every day of our life trying to get free. Thank you for your amen. And I know I got deliverance people here. And there is a part of deliverance. But it's deliverance of, most of the time, deliverance is nothing more than an unrenewed mind. People don't know who they are. They don't know where the devil's at. And they don't know the power of the Word of God. So we have to keep on delivering the same people. Thank you for your amen. I spent years in deliverance. You don't think I can get people delivered? I've cast out devils. They foamed at the mouth. They run on the floor and butted heads. I've seen them break doors. I've seen them all over the place. But I saw the power of the Word of God. If you get the devil out and the Word don't come in, he comes back, brings seven. You got eight. You worse off. Just leave the one devil in there if you don't teach them the Word of God. I'm telling you, you got to get a hold of this. If it shouldn't be our intent as a child of God to live it trying to be set free. Because to whom the Son... If you have the Son in you, then you have been set free. Now, in the world, they are not free. Baby Christians don't know they're free. But faith people... Sitting in a church 14 years, still wanting to be set free? Your faith is a myth. You're praying in vain. You're like Jesus said of the Sadducees. They have much speaking. It's just you don't have your mind renewed with who you are. Now here's the thing, all of us. Myself, even preaching this, have bondage. Because we're not the living Word. We're not, the Word is not dwelling in us mightily. Amen. So I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me. But I'm telling you that there is a place we should live that our intent is not to be made free or set free. We are free people. Even in this scriptures here, if you keep reading it, the Sadducees and those the rulers of the day said to Jesus, we're not under bondage to no man. Our father's Abraham. Who is your father? My father is more than Abraham. My father's God. So if they had the right to say to them that Abraham is my father and I'm free. We have the right to say, God's my Father, and I'm free through and through. Yeah. Now, you may have to notify yourself that a whole lot. But if your mission is go around and get Benny Hinn or somebody else to keep praying you out of a hole, you'll spend all your gas money and stay the same way. If your intent is not to know what the Word of God says to you, you may need to be delivered. But once you get there, you maintain your freedom. Yeah. Is whom the Son is set free. It's free. It's not God's fault that we're in bondage. Let every man be a liar by God's word. Don't never judge your life based on another man. Don't ever judge God's word based on your condition. We got to believe it. God raise up a people that believe it. How can we get other people free if we need to be freed? It's just simple. You can't give away what you do not have. You just can't. Well, I got a calling on my life. My life can be in a mess and I still have the call. It won't be effective. Who are you fooling? We'll get to that. We'll get to that and break through blockers. You cannot give away what you do not have. So our mission, just based on this, John chapter 8 lets us know our mission and our intent as a child of God should not be one of seeking to be delivered, but maintaining our deliverance.
That's right.
That's where faith, that's where faith begins.
That's right.
Same way in health and healing. Our mission is not to get healed. We are the healed. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, 1 Peter 2, 24, Matthew 8, 17, all talks about past tense, what God has done for us. I'm not going to get healed. I'm maintaining my health and healing through the prayer of faith, through the prayer of agreement. Is that I thank God for my health and healing. I'm doing that right now. I pinched nerve in my back. I'm thanking God for my health that I have. It's mine. I have it now, what faith says. And I asked my brother here over the faith school. He'd be about the best one. He teaches it now going on three, almost 4 years teaching faith. He ought to know how to pray the prayer of faith to get in agreement with me about this thing.
Amen.
To maintain that which I already own.
That's right.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Think about it. You can't give away a house you don't own. You can't go rent a big screen TV and owe weekly payments on it and give it to your best friend. That's against the law. You don't own it. If we don't own this, we cannot give it away. We can try. We can preach dead sermons. We can be dead Christians. We can try to win our next door neighbor when our life is in a mess, but there's no power to it. We've got to raise ourselves up to what the Word of God says.
Yes.
I know I'm loud, but I just want you to know it.
Hallelujah. We got to hear it, brother.
Amen.
Don't live your life struggling to be free. Renew your mind to your freedom. Put your faith on it.
Yes.
Speak it. Talk it.
Yes.
I've talked myself into health, sneezing, slobbering, and couldn't breathe. Just kept saying, by His stripes I'm healed.
Hallelujah.
Surely He had borne my grief and carried my sorrow. Himself took my infirmities. When Jeff was dying and going to the floor, I didn't ask God to heal him. There were people in the room talking about, are you a smoker? Let's ask the Lord to heal him. Get out of the way. We just preached. Spoke the word, Brother Jeff said, pray, speak the word over me.
Hallelujah.
He'll live and not die. If that's the only thing you know, say it 1,000 times. He'll live and not die that he might declare the words of God.
Yes.
That's where the power is. And if you don't know you're free, you'll never experience this, your breakthrough mind. Your mind is, I shouldn't be here. I'm in bondage. I shouldn't be sick.
Come on. That's right.
No, this is not condemnation, it's truth. We should not be sick. James says, is there any sick among you? Is. Question mark.
Come on.
Is. Is. Somebody slipped through. Somebody just ain't got it together yet. That's the ones that calls the elders of the church together.
That's right.
Good word, preacher.
Hallelujah.
And if you're an elder, you're supposed to be well. I mean, we know that, and we know that when it comes to prosperity, you can't give nobody no money if you ain't got none. Well, I'm preaching hard. I know, Pastor, you are just lost your mind. I'm telling you something. We have diluted this thing so much. That's what God's showing me. Son, don't dilute it anymore. Son, whether you make it or not, preach it. Whether you get there or not, keep that mark out there before you. You just keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Stay on the road. Don't get off in the schisms and the isms and the bad talk and the moaning and groaning. On my deathbed, I already told my wife that if the enemy tries to take my health before my time, on my deathbed, I would still say, surely he bore my grief and carried my sorrow. I'm not supposed to be dying.
Hallelujah.
You need to know. One more time. Your mission is not to live a mission trying to get. Your mission is a life you should live trying to give. And you cannot give away what you do not possess. So our mission is to maintain. Hello, Lord. Maintain what already has been provided. That's a walk of faith.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Turn and tell somebody I'm a work in progress. That makes you feel better. I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to demons and devils and everybody that hears the CD that there is a mark out there. That we're working towards, pressing to, that we will live what we believe.
Hallelujah.
And we will become what we believe.
Amen.
See, the greatest faith in your life will be when you become what you believe. Until that, until you become what you believe, it's just a myth. Wow. Our hope. You need hope, but hope deferred maketh the man sick. That means hope that doesn't get to the end of hope to faith leave you sick. Hope is not faith. Hope is believing. Faith says, I received it.
Hallelujah.
My hope is finished, and I have it now.
Glory.
I believe I got some generals who are going to move into that realm. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Galatians 5:7 says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You did run well, but you ran out of gas. Turn and ask somebody, are you out of gas today? You do know we're in a race, don't you? Some of you look like you're mad at me. I'm trying to give you hope. I'm trying to tell you like it is. What good is it to me? What good is it to me to stroke your problems? What good is it to you for me to feel sorry for you? I'm telling you, I can no longer feel sorry for people. I have compassion and mercy. It gets me in trouble all the time. I give away a lot of times what I shouldn't give away. But if I just give away and have mercy for people and not tell them the truth, the prophet said it's just as bad to be an accuser of the brethren as it is to be an accuser of the brethren. I got a hold of that.
Yeah.
If I make excuses for my children, they'll grow up not able to function. And if we make excuses for one another, when our time is to... When the oil should be trimmed and the bridegroom and the bride's coming, we won't have nothing to light our oil.
Come on.
That's right.
You guys are strong, brother. Hallelujah.
See, we get on those virgins that didn't have no oil. But the ones had the oil under were asleep, just like the ones that didn't have no oil. Somebody had to wake them up. So if there's any glory, give it to the man who came saying, wake up, the bride is here. Glory, that'll preach right there, won't it, Pam? We cast stones at the ones that didn't have no oil, but they was asleep, and the ones that had the oil was asleep. But somebody was standing at watch. That's where I want to be, Sister Pam. I want to be standing watch. Whether you got oil or not, I'm going to wake you up. Hope you got oil. Because you ain't going to get mine. Turn to somebody. You ain't getting my oil. You ain't getting my oil. He anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. All over me, not you. Amen. With goodness and mercy. All right. That's why I'm talking about breakthrough. What's hindered the people? What's out there that will keep you getting into the place of where there be no limitation? Just be quiet. Preaching. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. I preached on it Wednesday. If you wasn't here Wednesday, I'm just going to read the scripture and jump on through it. The first one, the most people deal with this breakthrough blocker is found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's read verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all the commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. I want you to notice, The promise of the blessing to be above all the nations of the earth is conditional on this fact. If you hearken to the voice of the Lord and observe to do all the commandments. Can you see that? And one of the breakthrough blockers is the failure to hear and do. It's called disobedience. We fail to break through when we don't hear the voice of God, or we fail to do what we hear, whether it be the Word of God or the Holy Spirit. Disobedience is a breakthrough blocker. Get the CD Wednesday. We gave a whole list of scriptures to help you renew your mind on how to get out of disobedience. We don't have time to disobey. Not this year. We don't have time to be slothful. We don't have time to have a communication problem with God. We don't. Not this year. Too valuable. I hope you get a hope. This is a valuable year for your life. What you do this year determines the 9 next years of your life. Some of us are old. We ain't got 9 more years, so we need to step on it. How many want to go out in a flame? How many want to leave a life that cannot be erased? A testimony. A testimony to your family and your children. That they can say, I know one thing about my mom and dad. They truly love the Lord. What a great testimony. So we got to step on the pedal. Put the metal to the pedal. Amen. And disobedience can't be in our life. Glory to God. The second breakthrough blocker is an ungodly life. Here's where we got to preach a little bit. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 24. Ungodly life. I'm not a betting man. If I was a betting man, I would bet the word sin in most churches hasn't been mentioned in years. We're afraid to say we ought to live right. Amen. We're afraid to say that's wrong. But I said I'm a watchman delivering the mail. I'm looking. I'm watching. And I see something out there we got to straighten up. That mark out there is worth living right. Say it's worth living right. Amen. Psalm 24, David's a good example of a person that had a hard time living right. Let's start with verse 3 and read down to verse 5. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in the holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. David asked this question: who in the world is able to stand in the presence of a holy God?
Hallelujah.
And God answered back: a person whose hands are clean and who has a pure heart. That tells me a person that doesn't have a pure heart, clean hands, cannot stand in the presence of God. It's a breakthrough blocker. You'll never get to God with dirty hands. I like what the New English Translation says. Who is allowed to ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who may go up to his holy dwelling place? The one whose deeds are blameless and whose motives are pure, who does not lie or make promises with no intention of keeping them. Now let me just bring it on down where people live. People who come to church, no names mentioned. People who come to church and lift their hands when everybody else does, who sing like a mockingbird when everybody else sings, and go home and live like the devil, they'll never, ever see the blessings of the Lord.
Amen.
You cannot separate the blessing from a clean life. You cannot separate the blessings from a clean life. Living clean. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Do I have to get down to the nitty gritty and talk about, no, I don't want to do that. All y'all know what living right is. A drunk knows what living right is.
Right.
I don't have to give you 7 steps on living right. You know when you do wrong. I don't have to tell you when you do wrong. I have to spend my life telling you when you're right, because most of us live wrong. We got to work on some things.
Hallelujah.
Every day, right, Bonnie? Every day. Some of us have to live it moment by moment. Others, hour by others. Others, day by day. Some of us can tiptoe a little bit, but we still got to work on being clean before God. Living an ungodly life is a breakthrough blocker. We got to tighten our belt this year. All of us. You could put me in a machine and press me, slap together. I never would cuss because I've never been a cusser. Never. But if you put me in a room with a bunch of negative women, I better run. All of us have problems, situations, temptations, weaknesses. We all working on this thing. But we got to work on it. We can't be doing this and this at the same time. Our hands have got to be raised together, coming before God. Amen. With clean hands. Matthew 5:8 said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You know, the world, I'm telling you. There's a shout in the church that sounds like God, but it isn't. I'm just telling you like it is. Been there, live it, know it. It's my life, church. There was a time in church that if a person did something wrong, my goodness, you'd have to go to the house and talk to them and try to get them to feel better about themselves, to pray. Even after they pray repentance, they still feel guilty. But I'm telling you, people come into church guilty as guilt can be, with no sorrow, no shame, no disgust. Lay out on Saturday night with a man and get in the choir on Sunday and sing like a mockingbird. I'm telling you, that has no power in it. None whatsoever. I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm not talking about being hypocritical. I'm talking about being honest. Lord, oh Lord, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. I stand in need of a touch from you today. Help me, Lord. Forgive me. We don't even have altar calls no more. We're so clean, squeaky clean, we can't hardly walk down here. We done washed all the oil off of us. Man, this altar's open. Come cry out to God. Say, have mercy on me, Lord. I didn't do right this week. I didn't talk right this week. I didn't do the things I ought to do. Lord, have mercy on my soul. Amen. Listen to what the Message Bible says. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. He's still working on me, making me what I ought to be. See, we all got some work. That's why we need Jesus. He that hath no sin, let him throw them stones around. I'd rather have a prayer and repentance church than a Holy Ghost-filled, unrighteous church. They think they feel. Shouting, jumping, going, and go out the door, cussing down the road. I don't know. I know nobody does that. And I know sometimes it slips. But you just ask repentance. There'll be a day it don't flip. Every once in a while I do look at a woman.
Come on.
No. Yeah. And I'll be honest, I will till I die. You don't want me looking at no man, do you? Hallelujah. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 28. Ungodly life. You know what godly is. If you have any Lord in you at all, unless you're a reprobate, you've just done sinned until you can't see or hear no more. Any person in here knows when they do wrong if they're a child of God. That's when you get on your knees and ask God to forgive you. It ain't when you compromise and say, well, it wasn't my fault. If she hadn't wore that, I wouldn't lusted after. If he hadn't made me mad, I wouldn't have cussed. You cuss because cussing's still in there. You looked at the woman because you still got lust in you. Just ask the Lord to forgive you and help you. Help you. I mean, I do it. I there's not a day. Let me tell you something. I every night, you know, I don't know the statistics, but do you know there's a lot of people that go to bed at night and never wake up? My uncle died in his sleep. He was in his 60s, late 60s, and got saved. My daddy went out of the house and finally got born again, and he never missed church. And he hadn't been saved maybe a year or two, and he went to bed the night. And my aunt got up the next morning to check on him. She didn't hear him up. Went inside there, and he's laying on his bed with his head on a pillow with the Bible laying across his chest. He went on to glory.
Hallelujah.
Say, what a way to go. A lot of people go to bed at night, never wake up. Might be a good time for you to have a little talk with Jesus.
Amen.
Makes it right. Just in case. Always have a little talk with Jesus. That don't mean you have a sin conscience. It means you just ain't playing around. And you know what the Bible says? What says, if it's not of faith, it's sin. So a lot of things we do, we need to ask God to forgive us of every day, every night. Look, listen what Proverbs 28:13 said. He or she that covereth his sins shall not prosper. One translation says, he that conceals his sins shall not prosper. But thanks be to God, it don't end right there, right?
Yeah.
Say, there's a remedy.
There's a remedy.
Hallelujah. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I hear people saying, I do too. Have mercy, Lord. You know, we see something. We've seen a movie this week, and we said, have mercy, Lord. I know it's just sometimes we make it just like a saying, but I'm telling you, there's nothing no greater than God's mercy upon your life. When you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I like what the Message Bible says. You can't whitewash your sins and get by with it. You find mercy by admitting and leaving them. Glory to God. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness. Let's say that word. Holiness. We go to Holiness Church. That's what you used to hear. They don't even talk about it much no more, right? Even the Holiness Church changed their name. Used to be Churches of God, Assembly of God. They gone to Faith Family Church. Then you find out their holiness. Holy living. Ain't nothing wrong with you know what holy living is? It's not a dress code. It's not a long sleeve and no pants and all that stuff. Or it's not that. Holiness is in being complete agreement with God. Anytime you're in complete agreement with God, you're holy. Anytime you're in agreement with God, you take on the attributes of a holy God. You can't dress up and be holy. You got to live holy. You got to be in agreement when you sin. You say, Lord, I sinned. I didn't make a mistake. I sinned. I pray that every day. Like I told you, I pray. I sinned against you, God. And not only you, I sinned against my neighbor because I don't love my neighbor as myself. I mean, I'm not asking, forgive me of fornication and adultery. Good Lord, I hope, no. Or getting drunk on Wednesday or Saturday night, going to the pulpit on Sunday. Oh, I'm not asking for that kind of forgiveness, cussing my brother out, or running around on his wife. Surely I'm not. But I'm not loving the Lord with all my heart, spirit, soul, mind, body. I haven't. And I haven't loved my neighbor as myself. Lord, if I did, I'd give him some of my cars. It's just good to acknowledge to God your shortcomings. You don't have to get up in front of people and tell them everything you do. Man, my daddy used to tell them, the only one you need to tell is God. I learned that the hard way. Don't tell everybody your business. It's just something about it. We got to just tell somebody that some things you should never tell a soul. You tell God Almighty in your prayer closet. And if I was you, I'd put some rags up under the door where nobody can hear it. I've seen lives destroyed. Churches tore all to pieces. Because agape love got in there and everybody started testifying about going, doing this. And beautiful woman stand up and said, I was a harlot. I went out and had sex and I love sex, but God has delivered me. Then you got those unrenewed men sitting out there and said, what'd she say? She loved sex? Now, I know y'all don't think that don't happen in church. But I'm telling you, all kind of stuff happen in church. You don't need to get up and tell us your business. Amen. Tell God what you were. He can handle it. Hey. Living an ungodly life is a breakthrough blocker. I'm going to finish on time. I got another one, but I can never finish that, and I'm not going to go 30 minutes over late. I have to use two CDs. It makes it bad. We got to tackle these breakthrough blockers. I prophesy from my spirit, not from the Holy Ghost, but what I know in me. I don't need it to come on me or enlighten me any on it. I know that I know this is a year that's important to us. I tell you what, I know I got a new building, Pam. And I know people say you need to go do something to fill it up. But I'm telling you, my desire is to grow you this year. I need to grow you. We need to grow. God will fill up the church. He's the one that adds to the church. Surely you can invite somebody to this beautiful place. But I'm not going to do no gimmicks and no special giving out and this all that stuff. I want to grow you this year. I want you to know who you are before this year ends. I want you to make this year a bank of crop year for you. I want you to give in this year so the next 9 years will be a whole lot easier for me. If I can get you giving this year sacrificially, 9 years, you won't know how not to. So there's a big thing now. It's justifying. I mean, churches are going under. I got friends in pitiful condition. I got friends with foreclosures at the door on the churches. And I understand it's tough out there. But I'm telling you, you can't negate what you know to do. God will make a way. If you give, He opens the windows of heaven. If you tithe, He opens up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you cannot contain. I know this for a fact. God has a money stretcher. God has a money tree. And if you give in faith, He'll give back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over through the hands of men. Amen. We have to move past these blockers. This our year. Say, this is my year. My goodness. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. I got another church to take.